Okay, so we had discussed three basic categories with respect to timing for reading the Megillah. You have the walled cities, and they're primarily on the 15th, assuming that they have a wall going back to the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. And then you have the open cities, and they follow the standard date, the normative date, which is the 14th. And then we have the villagers, and those are people that come from very small rural communities, and they were in the habit of coming into larger cities on Monday and Thursday for Torah reading altogether. There was also matters of Beit Din that they would come in, and so the rabbis allowed them to read on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th, back during the times when the sanctification of the moon was done, what we call Yedei HaRe'iyah, based on sight and court testimony, for the reason that they would then be able to provide a more meaningful Purim for Acheihem Shebikrachim, for the Jews of the larger cities, because they were, you know, as rural people in agrarian society, they were going to be able to provide for the Purim Seuda. So the question is, you know, a matter of definition. Ezoi Ir Gedola, what qualifies as a large city that it would not be considered a village? So you would think, like, you'd give some population statistic, like it's got to have 50,000 people, 100,000 people, it's got to be a certain size, but this is a very, for lack of a better term, this is a very spiritual definition. The Mishnah says, Kol she'ish ba'asara batlanim. It has to have 10 people that are dedicated to the minyan. That basically you have 10 people that are on call. The Gemara in Brachos says that if God comes into the shul and there isn't a minyan that's readily available, it's not a good situation. And so we measure a large city, you could have 3 million, a population of 3 million, but if there aren't 10 people that are willing to commit to themselves to the minyan, they're involved in Torah study, then as far as we're concerned, it's a village. It's really a very powerful statement about the role of a minyan in the community. Pachos mikana rezekvar. Be'elu amru makdimin velo ma'achrin. With respect to these cases, again, you could go early, 11th, 12th, and 13th, but as we said, with respect to reading the Megillah, velo yavor ksiv, anything past the 15th is not really viable, and we discussed that both based on the Gzeres HaKasuv, because that's what the Megillah says, but also because that would interfere with the 30 days leading up to Pesach. Aval, but with respect to all of the following items in the Mishnah, they get pushed off. Zman Atzei Kohanim, I'll define it in a second. Tisha B'Av and all the other fast days in that cycle, Asara B'Teves, Shiva, which actually doesn't happen to fall on Shabbos, but Shiva Asara B'Tammuz, and the like, the Karban Chagiga, Hakel, Ma'achrin, V'lom Bakdimin. So basically, Zman Atzei Kohanim, there used to be specific families that had a tradition of bringing up wood to the Beis HaMikdash, that this was their family tradition, and it was done on a particular day. Obviously, the Beis HaMikdash needs firewood for the pyres, the Eish Tamid Tukad Al Mizbeach Lo Tichba, the permanent fire, and if that somehow conflicted with Shabbos, so it would be pushed off, it wouldn't be pushed up, but it would be pushed back. And likewise, Tisha B'Av, that's based on the principle of Agdume Puranusa Lomikadmina, that we never move up Purana. So we've had it many times in the recent years, where Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, and we push it off until the 10th of Av. So that's another example. Hakel, if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Friday, so then Shabbos would be the Hakel day, and it would get pushed off until Sunday. And the Yerushalmi explains that's based on the fact that there needs to be a bima built, that the king would actually read from an elevated position, and that you could not do on Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi raised the question, so why don't you just build it before Shabbos? Be a good project for the scouts, Ben. You know, build the bima. And the issue is that it takes up too much space in the Azara. What's interesting is if you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Chagiga, the Rambam gives a different reason entirely. The Ravid says, I don't know why the Rambam is coming up with this reason. We have an open Yerushalmi on the topic, but the Rambam says the issue is a little bit different, that the issue is the Chatzotros, that they had to sound the Chatzotros throughout Yerushalayim, and I've argued in the past that that connects back to the idea of Hakel as kind of a recreation or reenactment of Mamad Har Sinai, of the giving of the Torah, where the sound of the shofar was very prominent. So the Rambam seems to have given that more significance and said, well, you wouldn't be able to do that on Shabbos, so you'd move it back to the second day of Chol HaMoed, which in this case would be Sunday. And likewise, the Karban Chagiga as well, the Karban Chagiga would be offered on the first day of Yantif typically, along with the Olas Re'iyah, but if that conflicted with Shabbos, the Chagiga can be offered the entire holiday. So again, all those things get pushed back. So again, let's say it's a situation where the villagers read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, so they're permitted, it's not really Purim. So they're permitted to have eulogies on that day, right? Just because they read the Megillah doesn't turn it into Purim. They're allowed to even fast on that day, right? The 13th is a fast day altogether. They can do Matanos Savyonim. Here it sounds like they can do Matanos Savyonim. We'll encounter positions a little bit later where they actually have to do Matanos Savyonim based on the principle that when poor people hear the Megillah being read and they hear that it says in the Megillah, Umatanos Savyonim, and gifts for the poor, and then you're not going to give them on that day, so that's a little bit cruel. So in any event, the Mishnah says, you know, they'll celebrate Purim, the Purim Seuda will always be on the 14th, Mishloach Manos will be on the 14th, because that's connected to the Seuda, but Mikra Megillah and Matanos Levyonim, that forms a kind of a unit, and that could be on the earlier day. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Limasai Makom Shenichnasim B'Sheni V'Chamishi, Makom Shenichnasim Lo B'Sheni V'Lo B'Chamishi, and Korino Salabis Manos. So the Mishnah finishes, Rabbi Yehuda says, this of course only makes sense in a situation where they normally come in on Monday and Thursday anyway, so the rabbis were not going to make them come back again a second time that week to hear the Megillah. But in a situation where they're not habituated to coming in, let's say you have a villager, I don't know, he's an artisan, he doesn't come into the city on a regular basis on Monday and Thursday, he's not somebody who's selling his wares in the marketplace, he's somebody, you know, who did blacksmith, whatever it is, he works from home in the village, and he's not coming in on a regular basis. So in that type of a situation, that would not be a Kvar Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, they would just read on the regular day, and again, the normative day is the 14th. So again, I just want to highlight this point. I know this sounds a little bit strange. Nobody ever said, okay, these guys are going to celebrate Hanukkah on the 25th of Kislev. Oh, but, you know, if you come from a village, celebrate Hanukkah, I don't know, on the 22nd of Kislev. It sounds very funny. But the whole principle to remember here is that Purim wasn't so much about a date as much as it was about a month. Because the way that Haman set up the lot was that Haman was in the month of Nisan and he wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And so he, you know, he put the names of the months in a, you know, whatever it was, his hat, you know, probably a Red Sox hat, you know, from where I'm standing. Okay. You know, and he pulled out the month of Adar. So that's why the Pasuk says, it's about the month. Which again, as I've mentioned it a number of times in the past, that's why the Yerushalmi says, and it's quoted in all kinds of halachic sources, that if a person, you know, wasn't going to be able to read the Megillah later on in Adar, let's say they were going on a journey, they weren't going to have the Megillah with them. Now that there's Chabad, right, this is impossible. But, you know, because, you know, even if you're going to the International Space Station, presumably Chabad would be set up there for, you know, celebration of Purim. But like, you know, in the olden days before they had gotten out everywhere, if a person was going, who knows, I don't know, to India, you know, so, you know, and the only opportunity they had to read from a Megillah, you know, would have been on the 3rd of Adar. So they say, okay, so you could read on the 3rd of Adar, because ultimately it's about a month that was transformed. That's a Misha Nichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, right? The month is actually consecrated, which is why you can have this entire discussion to begin with. Okay, so we'll hold it up there.